She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thank you so much for joining us today. We greatly appreciate our sponsors, and a special thanks today to the sponsor of this show, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona, whose mission is to provide services, training, and jobs to people with barriers to employment, and indeed they do. Their good work shows up all over this community, and the good work of Goodwill Industries shows up all over this country. Thank you for supporting the mission and vision of Mrs. Green's World Goodwill Industries. So it is my very, very, very big pleasure to welcome Gary, I'm going to say Oppenheimer.
Close enough.
Okay, Oppenheimer then. There you go. Okay. I had a 50% chance, and I just talked to you. So here you are, Gary. He is the founder and executive director of AmpleHarvest.org, an organization that uses the internet to educate, encourage, and enable millions of growers nationwide to share their ample harvest with local food pantries in all 50 states. So that's what you can read about him, and what I have to say about him, because it's my show, is that he is an unstoppable force. Trust me. I welcome you, Gary. I thank you for your presence on the planet, and I want to make the show all about you and your good work and get our listeners as excited as I am about what you're doing to make a difference about food waste and feeding the hungry in our country. So welcome to Mrs. Green's World.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here, although I'd much rather be in Arizona at the moment. I'm speaking from northern New Jersey, with we still have over 2 feet of snow.
Oh, no. I didn't tell you this, but I'm a Jersey girl, 117 on the Garden State, so I know what the snow days are like.
Okay,
so let's start at the macro level. You sent some very, very excellent talking points, and I usually look at them and, you know, decide the order. This was a well-thought-out way to start at the macro level. You're talking about a distributed solution to a nationwide problem about food waste. So remind our viewers how much food is wasted, and you just talk about what this big idea is that you have and that you're making happen.
All right. How much food is wasted? A lot.
A lot.
In 2008, a photographer named Bill Marsh, who works for the New York Times, assembled a photograph in the form of a map of the United States, and he laid store-bought food on that map. And it was a representation of the amount of food lost or wasted in America by a family of four in 1 month. It's about a pound a person a day, about 100 billion pounds of food a year. This stuck with me. And I had no prior experience to food waste other than growing up like many other kids, you know, finish what's on your plate, kids are starving in Europe or other similar things. But this stuck with me, just as the visuals, a brilliantly done photograph. The amount of food waste in this country is staggering. There was a report that came out 2 years ago, and everybody should Google it, from the National Resource Defense Council on food waste. And it basically says 40% of the food in this country is not consumed. That's a 40%. It's an amazing, and by the way, everybody is part of the problem, from the farm to your kitchen. Nobody is guilt-free here. Now, there is an expert in the United States named Jonathan Bloom, who's got a wonderful blog called WastedFood.com, and is the author of a book called American Wasteland, and it's another thing you should look at, because he goes into much greater detail on the scope and magnitude of food waste. And this is a global problem, by the way. There was a brilliant TED speaker named Tristan Stewart, who did a wonderful presentation about global food waste, but our focus, AmpleHarvest.org's focus, is in the 50 states only, although we work collaboratively with people around the world. The amount of food that is lost in this country, as I said, is staggering. And waste has always personally bothered me. I've always gone through my life not liking wasted time, wasted energy, wasted anything. As a long-distance biker, personally, the only way I'm going to get up to the top of the hill is that by not wasting my energy but utilizing what I have the most efficient and effective way possible. So this has just been the way I've always operated. And I've always been aware of the waste of food from the standpoint of growing too much food in my own garden.
And let me just do a little press pause here for a minute, because the regular listeners to my show know that I interviewed Dana Gunders on my show on February 22nd, and she is a return guest. I love the work that the Natural Resources Defense Council is doing. And the thing that I want to say about her paper is, you know, it sounds like a big scientific research paper. It's very consumer-friendly paper. And if people are interested in learning about the food waste problem, she presents it beautifully, eloquently, and understandably. And they can, you know, listen to my podcast, which is on my website, but it's an incredible in-depth look at how much waste. And you're right, there's no finger pointing. It's all fingers pointing at every step of the food chain from when it's ripe. So
yeah.
Good.
I know Dana. She's great. Dana and I are friends. I know her. We've gone over the report. And there's only one thing missing from the report. Nobody, including her, ever spoke about food wasted in home gardens. Nobody ever thought about it. Nobody ever looked at it. And we all know about it. Everybody's been hit up with a neighbor saying, please take my zucchini or take my tomatoes. I myself have grown too much food. You try to give food away. You discover there's only so many cucumbers you can give to friends and still have them call you a friend. And so what ends up happening is you go down to the garden, you get your tomatoes, your zucchini, whatever it is you're growing, and then you're sort of, after a while, you're fed up with all these tomatoes. It's you overplanted, or you simply had a good season or a green thumb, and there are more tomatoes coming. So your choices are, I keep on eating them. You may preserve them if you're good at that. You
right.
can try to push them off on friends. But after a while, it's just more, and you just let it rot in the garden. And I got personally exposed to this, not only by myself, but when I was the director of a community garden, people would complain about that too. Now, in my case, I was actually giving food away to a local battered women's shelter in my town. I had actually reached out to a woman I knew who ran the shelter, and I asked her, can I give you the food? She said, absolutely. I went and I took the food. They were talking the summer of 2008, I believe it was, 2007, the first time. And the lady answered the door. I gave her these two bags of food, and she looked at it. And I remember this very clearly. She said, boy, now we can have some fresh food.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remembered walking away thinking, what if they only have canned food or something? And it just stuck with me. The following summer, 2008, I also had extra food in my garden. I went back to the same shelter. The same lady actually answered the door, gave her the food, and she had the exact same comment. These pieces, these tipping point things just stuck with me. But something that you mentioned, this macro discussion, on a macro level, I want you to think for a moment of every time there's been a food drive in your community, your house of worship, your school, your place of employment, wherever
it's been. Our post office does it. I mean, the U.S. post
office
does it.
They all say the same thing. Boxes, jars, cans,
yep.
No fresh food.
Yep.
So we've been inculcated with this idea that the food banks and pantries across America don't want tomatoes or apples or lettuce. They want cans, jars, and boxes. And this is just how we've what we've thought about all the time. It's what we've always been told. I'm not one usually to abide by the rules. My wife will be the first to tell you that. So the
that
idea
that does not
of,
surprise me at all.
So, but it also dawned on me, and this is coming around to 2009, that America has been trained to the idea that we can only give processed food, and we're leaving all this other food literally on the table in our gardens. We're throwing it away, creating waste problems for sure, environmental problems, but the bigger things, we're missing a massive opportunity, and that really did bother me. And I realized that we had a breakdown someplace in the system.
A big breakdown, yeah.
It was a big breakdown. But at the time, I was running a small community garden in my town in northern New Jersey. The people came to me in the garden and said, we have this extra food. You know, right?
What are we going to do with it?
The season. Yeah. People are going on vacation. They are overwhelmed, they're bored. And I simply said, if we're going to have an ample harvest, the least we can do is give it to people who really need it. And that just rolled off my tongue. It was that one phrase changed the food system in America.
We do have ample harvest. Right. And when you were talking about it, you know, I am from Jersey, and you're talking about wasting a tomato. I still claim that there's nothing like a Jersey tomato. And I have great tomatoes out here that are delicious. But here, the problem is citrus. You know, it all blooms at once. It ripens at once. And it starts falling off the trees at once. And then friends will give you bags of grapefruit, bags of lemon, bags of oranges. And you're right. How many lemons, for example, can you eat? How many can you put in your drink? So it's like it is a problem everywhere, no matter what is being grown in that region. And it's, you know, it is fresh
really
food. Yeah, so go ahead.
Now, let me give you the other side of this discussion. You and I have been talking about the abundance of food that us growers have. And we've also talked briefly about the food bank network saying, don't give us fresh food. The other side of this discussion are our neighbors who are hungry in America today. About one out of every six families is what we call food insecure. This means that either you don't have enough food or you are at real risk of not having enough food. These people are relying on food pantries around America, although depending upon where in America you are, they may also be called the food cupboard, food shelf, food closet, or food bank. So I'm going to use the word food pantry, but if you're in another part of the country, understand the term I'm using is a generic one. They are reliant on food pantries to help sustain their families. This is the safety net that America has. And it's a collaboration of the food bank network and government and personal donations and everything else. So people are going to food pantries saying, I need help, and they get food to help feed their families. And someone down the street has a garden overloaded with food, and they can't give it away.
So we have one in six people that are going to bed hungry, pretty much. I mean, in Tucson, in Arizona, it's, I think, one in five. It's a pathetic state in terms of many things, but let's not go there.
Let me take it a step, because this is an important number I want to tell you. We're talking one in six Americans, but if we think about our children, and
right.
We all do, one in four children under the age of six in America is living in a food insecure home, except if they're Hispanic, then it's one out of every three children.
I mean, those numbers are horrific and
yeah.
So shameful when you think about the 40 million plus Americans with excess food in their gardens.
Yes.
So go ahead.
And
add
to that, one in three children growing up today will be diabetic, and we're drifting towards one out of two. Now, type 1 diabetes is what you're unfortunately born with if you have it. What we used to call adult-onset diabetes, we now call type 2 diabetes,
right.
Is in large part lifestyle and diet. If your family diet is largely consisting of processed food, high in carbs, but particularly high in sugars, you are quickly increasing the risk of becoming diabetic. So we are the one in four children under the age of six are living in homes that are reliant on food pantries where the food that's coming in is increasing the likelihood that they will at some point become diabetic. So for all the complaining people have done about our health care costs or if they didn't like Obamacare, just wait until these people grow up or get older and become diabetic. So this massive problem that's facing America is of our doing, but the problem is that we have this problem on the one hand, and down the street on the other side of the block, we have the solution on the other hand. I saw this disconnect.
Huge disconnect.
It really bothered me.
Yes.
So from the community garden, going back to the ample harvest story, I said that ample harvest comment. Everybody loved it. They put a committee together. I went to try to find the food pantries in my own town. I'm in an 80-square-mile town in rural northern New Jersey. I know there are food pantries. I was donating from my own garden to the woman's shelter.
Right.
Google says the nearest pantry is 25 miles away, and I knew that was wrong. And I saw there was a disconnect. I'm an old geek. I mean, I've been around computers since the 70s.
I loved your bio. fascinating. Thank you. You're not old.
Aging is probably a better word.
Right, right.
But if I couldn't find a food pantry and I was diligently trying and I know my way around the internet, then how many other people who would like to do good with their excess food are thwarted by the lack of awareness that they can do good and how they can do the good? That was the epiphany in March of 2009. And if you remember, I said I hated waste.
Right.
I got up the next morning. I found that ampleharvest.org as a domain was available. I bought it for $9.
Awesome.
Except that now that I spent the $9, I couldn't stop because I can't waste the $9.
Okay.
This has been a
that
series
big investment.
Of tipping points.
Yeah.
And so I, using my limited, my technical expertise and connections and this and that, and the amazingly generous donation of talent from two people, one of whom is a woman I have never met. She's in Missouri, and the other is a gentleman here in New Jersey. I came up with the idea, and the three of us built ampleharvest.org as a website. She did the front end, the part you can see. He did the back end, the data stuff, and I did the content. So in summary, it boiled down to if it's pretty, she did it. If it's data, he did it. And if you can read it, I did it. That's pretty much how it happened.
Oh, my gosh. And you still have you still not met her, or did you hadn't
never.
Met her then?
I actually went out to Missouri at one point. I was nearby, and she wasn't available.
Oh,
and I'm respecting her privacy. She donated her time and her talent.
Right.
America owes this woman an immense amount of gratitude.
She knows who she is. Okay.
And she's decided this is what, you know, this is perfectly reasonable. We were going through an economic meltdown while this is going on. At the time I came up with the idea for ampleharvest.org, America had approximately, it's according to Feeding America, 28,500 food pantries. The meltdown occurs. We have now approximately, the last number I heard was 33,500 food pantries. So the number of pantries increased because the need for the food increased.
Right.
So ampleharvest.org was rolled out as the economy was tanking and as the need was increasing.
Growing.
Now, that was all really good stuff. There was one really bad thing that happened. Something called the early blight, which is a fungus that attacks the nightshade family, particularly tomato and potato plants,
okay,
ravaged the eastern seaboard. So everybody's tomatoes and potato plants died. So here I was saying to America, you can donate your excess food and the crop got wiped out. You know, that's something we had no control over.
Right.
Although
it's one of the challenges you have already overcome, but oh my gosh, what a kick in the stomach.
Right, but actually it goes to a bigger point we can touch on later about what ampleharvest.org is and isn't, that we are a pipeline, and we can talk about that later on, because it was an eye-opener for me. Ampleharvest.org got launched. I didn't, you know, and I was, okay, this guy with a ponytail in northern New Jersey has a really cool idea, a really pretty website, and what next? And I'm pretty good at marketing. But remember I mentioned John Bloom?
Yes.
I called him up, or I actually emailed him. I said, Mr. Bloom, I have this really cool idea. You've written about this. You have this great blog. The New York Times has sent me to you. What do you think? I think two or three days later, he calls me up. We spend an hour on the phone. He does a wonderful blog entry on his blog, wastedfood.com, about ampleharvest.org. And suddenly, sunlight was illuminating ampleharvest.org. For the first time, the world started to see it.
One spotlight shining on you. Oh my gosh! Talk about
coming from an expert.
Yes.
I was referred to by the New York Times. Bill Marsh, by the way, the guy who did that photograph, he gave me Jonathan Bloom's name. So lots of different people have their own little pieces in this thing. Everybody sees me as the face, and I get that. But this is actually the effort of 40 million growers and a bunch of other hardworking people. I want to be clear about this.
And two degrees of separation. I mean, really, seriously, there you were with Jonathan Bloom. That's pretty awesome, really.
Jonathan Bloom was the person. But it's important to understand something, what my role is and, in effect, what ampleharvest.org's role is. We're not doing anything. We're enabling stuff.
Yeah, you're creating the platform on which it can happen. So I have to tell you this, we are ready for our first break.
Okay.
And I'm sure everybody wants to stay tuned. Gary Oppenheimer, the founder and executive director of ampleharvest.org. And when we come back, much more to share about how it grew, literally the growth, what the structure looks like, how people can help. So please stay here with me. We won't want to miss a minute of this about food waste, and more importantly, what we can do to be part of the solution to the hunger in this country. Stay here with me. We'll be right back. Hi there. This is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine. It's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines. It gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
Bookman Sports Exchange is now open at 3330 East Speedway. We're taking our passion and experience of buying, selling, and trading books and music and applying it to the world of sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear. We are giving you another way to save money on the things that you love, Bookman style. Remember, Bookman Sports Exchange, sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear, now open daily from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Speedway east of Country Club. Check out bookmans.com for more info.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today, I'm so thankful that we're giving everybody the opportunity to think about hunger, what that might feel like, how we can help. And I'm getting the honor, really and truly, of interviewing Gary Oppenheimer, the founder and executive director of AmpleHarvest.org and his organization. And Gary, I love that you so clearly said it takes a team, it takes a village. You are the person that had the vision, but without other people stepping up, it would have been yesterday's news, and it's today's bright future. So AmpleHarvest uses the internet to educate, encourage, and enable millions of growers. And I want to emphasize that word. If you grow anything, this show is for you. Nationwide, to share their ample harvest with local food pantries in all 50 states. And Gary, before we continue, I have to do a shout out that I forgot because I was so excited. But we at Mrs. Green's World just completed a very successful Kickstarter campaign called What Am I Eating and Why Should I Care? It All Starts With Your Fork. And we reached our goal. We surpassed it. And I want to thank everybody who helped contribute. As we're recording the show, we're still about 40 backers short of a $5,000 match challenge. I'm sure we're going to get there. So everybody, thank you for Kickstarter support. And Gary, you'll be on the show again because it's all about food. So this is one of your first appearances, I hope, on Mrs. Green's World.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so let's go to, we talked about the macro level and the people that started helping you and getting published in a New York Times food blog, which about waste, which is everybody's dream for
Well, let me be clear. This is not a New York Times food blog. This is, the blog is by Jonathan Bloom.
Sorry.
The New York Times who set up that connection.
Okay,
let me be clear
all right.
About that.
Yeah, Bill Marsh. Okay. All right, so go on to the next step, you got the bright light on you, and then what happened? Because I want to know how it grew.
Well, it grew fast. As a matter of fact, and this is pure coincidence, and nobody believes me, on the 150th day, our 150th day, which happened to be World Food Day, the 1,000th food pantry already had added themselves to AmpleHarvest.org.
You're kidding me.
The big picture model here. If you remember, I wasn't able to find food pantries in my own town that I knew existed. So AmpleHarvest.org, as I conceived it and it was built, essentially had three roles. And you've said this already, to educate, encourage, and enable the donation of food. The education and the encouragement is an ongoing big process of outreach, education, writing, this show, many other things. The enablement is the ampleharvest.org website itself. Now, we started out Tabula Rosa. There was one food pantry, actually, which was the one in New Jersey here that I had done some, you know, my initial testing with. So we were going out to everybody across the country, food banks, food pantries, saying, pass the word out, get these, sign up. The idea is, and again, think Google for a minute. This is built on the Google model.
Right.
Not like Google's our biggest backer. Think about the idea that pantries would add themselves voluntarily. This is an opt-in thing on the part of the neighborhood food pantry. They sign themselves up. Once they are on ampleharvest.org, then growers in their community, when they are looking for a food pantry, would actually find them on ampleharvest.org, and then they deal directly with the pantry. We're actually not involved in the transportation or the transaction of the food. So the more pantries that get added to ampleharvest.org, the better the chance that a grower is going to find a food pantry in his or her community to donate to. Very, very simple idea. The more stores on Google, the better chance of somebody shopping for something is actually going to find the store and they can do the commerce they want to do. So the initial push was to get pantries to learn about ampleharvest.org and to sign up. And to do that, I reached out to the food banks across America. These are large, centralized, regional food banks that work with all the food pantries to say, we have this great model. Please share this information with all of your food pantries. And we gave them electronic information. They started signing up. The faith community was extremely important. 70% of the pantries in America are in a house of worship. And I started with Catholic Charities because I knew about them.
Right.
And they were extraordinary. 4 days after my call with Catholic Charities, every parish in America knew about ampleharvest.org. So it was an ongoing effort to populate the data. And for anybody who wants to see where we are at, we're approaching 7,000 food pantries, one out of every five in America. If you go to the ampleharvest.org website, you'll see a map on the right-hand side. If you click on it, it'll take a moment. It'll populate with our real-time map. The idea was to make it so that no matter where in America you are, you could look left or right and find a food pantry within a 20-minute drive of you. Now, Texas is an exception because nothing's within 20 minutes of anything in Texas.
That's right.
Everything's further
Not
away.
Even the gas station. But right. let me just tell you this from the consumer point of view, because I had to test it. So I know lots of people with gardens, and I wanted to see, okay, so what happens if I put in my zip code in Tucson? And I want to share this with everybody. There are five food pantries within a 10-mile radius, and I knew every single one of the organizations. So I knew the farthest one was 9 miles away. The closest one is 5 miles away. So if you're listening and you have Ample Harvest, or you know a neighbor that does, or you have citrus, because we're having a very weird season out here because of maybe climate change. I don't know. I'm not sure. But if you have it, you can put in your zip code and find out where you can take your produce. I call it produce or whatever it is that you have, what you've grown in your garden. So I just wanted to add that personal shout out about how easy it was to go to your website, put in the zip code, and find where I could take my food.
Right. And the important thing here is you now know that that food pantry down the street across town
yes.
is there. They're eager for your food, and presumably for the rest of your gardening life, you've got a relationship with that pantry. And I know Goodwill Industries is one of your sponsors. Just like when you have an old coat and you say, I don't want to wear this anymore, you don't throw it away. You find a Goodwill bin and you drop it off there. The same idea should be for the food. What you should be doing is you should wake up one morning, too many tomatoes. I'll take this over to the food pantry, the YMCA or wherever it is that's near you, and donate. This is the exact model. So you asked about the growth. 1,000 food pantries on the 150th day, and it kept on growing and kept on growing. There was increasing media coverage. In April of 2010, about 11 months after rollout, I get a call from CNN. I had been nominated to be a CNN hero. And what actually happened is I was actually putting up a sign on the side of a road for an environmental fair that was coming up. And the lady from CNN says, can I talk to you? And I said, not right now. I'm about to be hit by a car. Can we talk in 20 minutes? So she called me back in 20 minutes. I get home. We have a very, very nice chat. She said that somebody had nominated me. They wanted to learn about me. They wanted to learn about AmpleHarvest.org. They said they were going to do a very detailed investigation about AmpleHarvest.org and about me. And then they said, we're going to name you CNN Hero. You're going to be on CNN. They gave me a date. And they sent a crew here. Now, remember, I'm in northern New Jersey.
Right. Did you think you died and went to heaven maybe, like, just for a little bit? Because that's one of my dreams. Oh, my gosh.
It was a wonderful experience. Everybody at CNN was amazing. But, you know, they said, well, we want to see you gardening and harvesting some food and taking it to a food pantry. And the embarrassing thing was the snow had just melted here 2 weeks earlier. So
you can't
I had
planned that nature
about
oh my
nothing
God.
Growing. But I did, bizarrely enough, have one thing that in my garden survives. Actually, in every garden it survives. It's horseradish. You can't get rid of the stuff.
And so, a lot of your neighbors probably don't want it.
No, they don't. But they had the crew, we did the interviews, and then they filmed me pulling the horseradish out of the ground. That's nice.
That's
As it turned out, the woman in my town, whose property the community garden I referred to earlier lives, she actually had, I think it was rhubarb growing on her property already. She has more sun. So we went to her place. She harvested. We then went to the food pantry in my town where I had done my initial research, and they filmed food getting to the pantry clients. And I feel bad for this kid, but they actually filmed this poor kid having a taste of horseradish.
Oh, no.
So if anybody wants to see these videos, it's ampleharvest.org/CNN. You can watch the CNN video. So CNN put a big spotlight on ampleharvest.org. And for a week, I and the ampleharvest.org story was on CNN all week long. I had a live interview with Ali Vishalas, Robin, I forgot the lady's last name. She's an anchor for CNN, did a whole piece on headline news. So CNN gave amazing coverage, and the coverage continued to grow and grow and grow. People loved the idea that you can reach into your backyard instead of your back pocket to help your neighbors in need.
Oh, my God. And that show is like a family tradition with us. I want to tell people they should Google that. It's CNN.heroes, and it should be a family tradition because it's everything that's right about the world. And we watch it when we gather as a family at Thanksgiving. My daughter TiVos it. So it's one of my favorite. Make sure you have a box of tissues available for each person that's in your group that's going to be watching it. So
and
I just
have
to do that.
To say this other piece about it. I realized I was standing in the shadows of some extraordinary people. You don't wake up in the morning thinking that you're anybody special, even if you have a really cool idea. You don't. And yet here I am being put up in the same category as other people who are doing amazing things around the world, rescuing girls from sexual slavery or what have you. And suddenly you're in that limelight. My vision for me, my vision for AmpleHarvest.org, certainly for myself, was not to be this hero. I don't think of myself that way. My vision was to make 40 million growers across the country heroes in their own community. You know, when I was a kid, my mother loved Leonard Bernstein. She loved Leonard Bernstein. He was the conductor of the New York Philharmonic.
Right.
And I didn't get it. You know, the guy's up there waving a stick. Everybody else is making the music. He's just waving the stick. He's the one everybody knows, but he doesn't make a sound. The idea, and this is the role that I'm in. I get that I'm setting a stage, making an opportunity, hopefully inspiring people to do stuff, but it's the 40 million growers who do it. And I think that the important thing for people to understand that when they have a garden, rooftop, backyard, kitchen, it doesn't make a difference, what they donate from their garden to a food pantry is a game changer for their community and their country. And they own the rights to feeling really extraordinarily good about the change that they're making.
And, you know, even when I met, I mean, speaking of heroes, when I came back to New York, which is where I met you, I thought like I had hit, I thought I died and went to heaven because I got to go to that food tank think tank. And all I could do was I listened to everybody and then went around. The only one I knew personally was Dana Gunders, and I knew Danny Nuremberg from Food Tank Think Tank. But like, oh my God, and you came in with bags full of food. I remember that. Your hat and your ponytail, and you were sharing it. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm like, I came back and I said, I so have to get this guy on our show. And it took from September then. But Jane Goodall and Vandana Shiva, those are the people that are talking about the importance of healthy food right with you. So it's the presence of greatness. Put yourself in there and own it, because you got picked to help spread this big message. It's really an important one.
I'm privileged in that way. By the way, there was a reason I brought the food, and so that everybody knows, before I drove into Manhattan for this event, I went into my garden. I harvested Swiss chard and cucumbers, a whole bag of fresh food, drove to Manhattan, and 2 or 3 hours later, I'm up on stage with this amazing group of people, including, by the way, John Bloom and Tristan Stewart, who I'd mentioned, and Dana.
Yes.
And before I started speaking, I showed everybody this bag of freshly harvested food, and I said, this is what food waste looks like.
Oh, I know.
People have this idea that food, wasted food, is the stuff that you wouldn't buy in the supermarket. It's the stuff that's worm-eaten. It's you know something? Food waste is food that hasn't been eaten, and this was food waste. It was food that, this is what exactly AmpleHarvest.org is all about, fresh, healthy food that anybody would want to make a meal out of, and it wasn't getting to the people who desperately most needed the access to it. And I just needed people to have the visual of what this fresh food was all about. And people got it, I hope.
They did, and it would never make it to the shelves. And I learned so much in that. How much time did you each have? Like 15 minutes? I had a brain freeze. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much good information here, and I want hour shows on everyone.
But I actually had less time. We had less time than that, but I have the benefit of being a native New Yorker, so I know how to talk fast.
I know, and they had Attila the Hun, and that is not a slam, as the timekeeper. So if you didn't go off, you got the gong, and they were taking you off. It was very respectful of everybody's time, and it was content rich, as I call it. But I want to ask you this. It's a little bit of a sidebar. When you're talking about, you like to, and understandably, say growers, which is such a big, wide net, okay? It's anybody that grows food can find a food pantry to give their excess food to. What about, and you can say, Gina, this is really not what I want to talk about. It's okay. It's my show. What about, seriously, I mean, what about, like, friends of ours own a small farm in Oregon, and they have pear trees. So there's a harvest day when they have to contact, you know, they have to get on the schedule, and these pickers come, and they get the most of the pears off the tree. And it's thousands and thousands of pounds from not a lot of trees. Before they come, there are pears all over the ground. So they're not really exactly growers. They're more in the category of farmers. How can that step be addressed? Is that what you're going to take on in the next 10 years?
Because we're going to take that on hopefully within the next few months.
It's
the
huge.
The idea behind AmpleHarvest.org is you reaching into your backyard. And again, the vision is for the backyard gardener.
Okay.
There is the reality that we have large landholders. They could be farms, they could be community gardens, they could be public properties. We also have plenty of opportunity where you have things like your grandmother's property with a dozen apple trees.
Right.
And she's happy to donate, but she's not climbing ladders anymore. Or a farmer who's gone through a field and the machinery does all the harvesting and still leaves 8% of the potatoes in
yes.
the ground.
Yes.
This opportunity is staggering, and it's there. Across America, there are organizations that almost nobody's heard about that are called gleaning organizations. The biggest one is called the Society of St. Andrews, but there are countless other small ones across the country that, their role as gleaning organizations is to be invited to a large property, and they come with people, equipment, and most important, insurance. They do the harvesting, and then they get the food into the food banks and food pantries across America. The problem is that nobody knows about them. When I spoke to people last year and the year before at TEDx Manhattan, which is all about food, about gleaning, most people don't know what it is. And even people who are professionals in the food realm, you draw a blank on them. So the vision for the next step, and this is something I've been working on, and hopefully we get the funding for it in the imminent future and we can get this thing built, is something called gleaningharvest.org. The idea to put a spotlight on what gleaning is and to be providing America with a nationwide resource that allows anybody to find a gleaning organization that's willing to come to their location, do the harvesting, and then do the donation. So you can think about it effectively as gleaningharvest.org is on a wholesale level, what ampleharvest.org is on a retail level, if you want to think of that dichotomy.
Got it, And it's just, I mean, it's another big, huge Gary Oppenheimer idea. We're going to have to take another break.
Okay.
We are talking with Gary Oppenheimer, the founder and executive director of ampleharvest.org. During break, while you're listening, go to the website, ampleharvest.org. We'll be right back with lots more good stuff to share and how you can help.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI clean diesel technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI clean diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
The Habit Store is a big operation with staff and volunteers working hard to reduce our carbon footprint. We sell donated building materials, furniture and appliances, and recycle the metal from items that we can't repair or sell. We even have solar panels on the roof. The good deals we offer shoppers means Tucson Habitat can build and renovate homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store's store hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturdays, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road, just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And I am so pleased to have with us this hour Gary Oppenheimer, the founder and executive director of AmpleHarvest.org, an organization that is really working to answer the big cry and need for ending world hunger, ending hunger here in the United States, and taking food that's already being grown and putting it in the mouths of the 1 in 3 children that go to bed hungry in my community, because we are a heavily Hispanic community. Gary, it is an honor to interview a CNN hero, too. It's like, that is one of my favorite traditions in my family, and I knew that you were a CNN hero because I did my homework, so allow me to gush, and then you can talk about gleaning.
Okay.
So let's talk about, you know, if there's anything else you want to say about gleaningharvest.org, and then let's talk about your big invitation for people, how to join your work, what it means, what the impact could be, and what a difference it is. I want to touch a little bit about the difference from the food bank. I certainly don't want to say anything bad about food banks, but let's be honest. Processed food is not good for us. Processed food is causing a lot of diseases. The more we know, the scarier it gets. So this could be a great, you know, evolution in our world's compromised health as well.
The focus of our work is not to be preaching what people should be eating.
Right.
The focus of our work is to make sure that people get the opportunity
that they're eating
to eat healthy, if that's what they choose or want to do for
right.
their families. That's
right.
the heart of it. On the other hand, I will tell you that I have been to a food pantry in Georgia, and I was actually on the phone with somebody a little while ago about this, but I was in a food pantry in Georgia where they had cans of peaches in heavy syrup that were actually manufactured in Jersey and shipped to Georgia, and they were there for people. And down the street were trees brimming with peaches.
Oh.
This is the disconnect in that we've had in America. If you remember at the beginning of the call, I had talked about the fact that people were told you can't donate fresh food to pantries and stuff like that. Here's the heart of AmpleHarvest.org, and this is really the what makes it extraordinarily special. We've enabled people to do something that they thought they really could never do, but actually could always be done. Think about it for a minute, like the Wizard of Oz, for lack of a better word.
Love it.
Dorothy never left Kansas, but she thought she had, and all she had to do was click her heels three times. There's always been that highway, that pipeline that allowed you to take food to a pantry, except that you were told you couldn't and you didn't know how to. The heart of AmpleHarvest.org is opening up that pipeline to every community in America, to every grower in the community, every growing American, saying, yes, you can, and here's how. The pipeline is something that allows food to go directly from your garden to a food pantry in your community without necessarily having to have canned peaches coming in from another state. So the people are obviously healthier because they're getting fresh food. And if you think about it, the environment is a good deal healthier because, number one, we're not shipping food in.
Right.
We're not dealing with the waste stream. And we're also not dealing with gardeners throwing away food, because when you throw vegetative material away in a landfill, it produces methane,
exactly,
which is a climate change gas. So there's environmental, community, and health impact benefits to all of America, and by extension the world, by the simple act of being able to donate food and actually then moving on to it if that's what you choose to do.
And it's so manageable for people to get their head around. It's one single step that they can do. And, you know, I just want to go back to what you said earlier a little bit about, I believe you that you never set out to be a hero and get recognition. You had a mission, a vision. I can hear the fire in your belly. What my fire in my belly is that a million people will listen to this show and hear what your mission is and take action. So I just, you know,
actually, let me say this. If those million people hear what your show, and I hope they do, if each of them made 40 phone calls or sent 40 emails, we'd have 40 million people in this country who would know what to do with food in the garden. This is a viral campaign. This
is
not us having
grassroots
to reach anybody.
Right.
This is very much grassroots. Once you know that St. Mary's Church or the synagogue or the mosque or the YMCA has a food pantry, you are now in a position to start spreading the word to your neighbors on either side of the fence around your house or across the street, helping people learn that they can be transformational in their own community in a sustainable way at no cost to themselves for the rest of their gardening life. This is an empowerment not only to the individual but to the community as a whole. All we're doing is waving the stick. The growers make the music.
Just like really and truly activating the matrix. I mean, the matrix is already there. And to me, when I want you to talk more about how people can get connected and how they can support your work other than giving food, because it takes money to run an organization. I'm sure you would like people to donate. So talk a little bit about that and how you're funded and what people can do if they don't have a garden, but they want to help.
First, if you have food, donate it to a pantry. That's important for your community. AmpleHarvest.org, as a charity, needs money to operate. The funny thing is we don't need a lot. Our budget is less than 5 minutes of Feeding America's annual budget. And I was asked actually a while back, you're on the Internet, why do you need money? And no one ever asked that question, and it turned out it was a very thought-provoking question, and the answer is really simple. iTunes and eBay are on the Internet too, but they need really good staff and technology to make everything work.
Exactly.
AmpleHarvest.org is a very small staff. They are extraordinarily good people. We have technology. We have the core expenses of doing what needs to be done, and that takes money. One of the problems we have had is that in the food foundation world, this idea of moving information instead of moving food is a whole new idea, so we've had difficulty with foundations. We're starting to have more luck with corporations doing what's called cause marketing, where they help us out. A couple of things that people can do. Number one, they can go to the AmpleHarvest.org website and choose to make a donation. The buttons are right there, and we deeply appreciate it. The second thing people can do is if you work for a company or an organization that has food drives,
Okay.
Think about the idea of having a virtual food drive. And we will work with them. The idea of a virtual, in a regular food drive, you give food, the food goes to a food pantry, somebody gets fed, as soon as they've eaten, the food's gone. You need to get more food, more feeding, and this is an endless cycle. When the money comes to ampleharvest.org, we use it to bridge more growers to more pantries. And once that bridge has been built, we're done. The grower will be supplying food as they do their harvesting for the rest of their life.
Right, you're out of it.
We're out of it. So instead of this repeated, we need money, we need food, we need money, we need food type of cycle, the idea here is we need money, absolutely, to do our work. We're fixing a flawed or broken system, and as that system gets fixed in every community, it is fixed.
It's fixed and spreads. Okay.
Right. But I want to be clear. It doesn't mean that food drives, as they traditionally occur, aren't needed. I mean, nobody's growing cornflakes or milk in their backyard. The food that we rely on, that we feed our families, is needed and will be needed as long as people are hungry. But the fresh food, the healthy fresh food that can change the future health of the country and the community, that's the piece that the contributions to ampleharvest.org, whether it's $5 or $500 is not the important thing, becomes the game changer for opening up the floodgates of fresh produce that are, it's already in the community, to help the community itself. We have goals, we have dreams of other programs we want to build that are going to be taking the discussion about the food coming in, not to the how many pounds of food, which is really the wrong question, because how do you compare watermelon and parsley?
Right.
But to a much bigger discussion, which we are actually now working with the Clinton Foundation on, which is how much nutrition got into the community. That's the,
wow,
the ultimate discussion that needs to take place. The Clinton people, the Clinton Foundation, and we're grateful for this, are helping us with gleaningharvest.org and this other idea that I have. The support that we get from people, from foundations, from companies across the country, help to make this happen. The model of AmpleHarvest.org is very innovative. The Brian Sigurds, who's a gentleman at AOL Huffington Post and works with Arianna Huffington, had said to me that he envisioned this model ultimately becoming in the philanthropic world what Facebook became in social media. I was sort of awestruck by that. He's outside the forest, I'm in the weeds, but I'll take his word for it that this model that we're doing with hunger can be applied in other charitable endeavors to make many other things in our society better than they are today.
And you're right about the, you know, we use the Goodwill analogy, and I love that because it is relatable. It is on the tip of everybody's tongue. We have so many Goodwills here, it's not even funny. And their work, the work that they actually do besides keeping stuff out of the landfills, which, of course, Mrs. Green likes, is they put people to work. They take really at-risk populations. They take disability people with disabilities. But when you're talking about this solution, it's so big and so doable. That's what got me excited when you spoke.
And
it clicked immediately.
Yeah, we've made it very easy for everybody. If anybody in America goes to ampleharvest.org/local, L-O-C-A-L.
Right.
We had built a section of our website at the invitation of the White House in January of 2013. We work closely with the White House. We've been very fortunate there. And this will walk anybody through a four-step ABCD, simple process of what you can do to cement the ampleharvest.org model in your community, working with your pantries, working with the growers, working with the local media, and you become the owner of the solution to hunger and malnutrition in your community. It's ampleharvest.org/local. So whether you are in New York or New Mexico, it's irrelevant. And by the way, and I know we're running out of time soon, we have another campaign that's called Skip the Flowers. And I just want to tell everybody briefly about that.
Skip the Flowers.
Oh. Ampleharvest.org/skip the flowers. When you are having an event, you're having a wedding, a bar mitzvah, a Christmas dinner, a Thanksgiving dinner, a corporate event, instead of putting bouquets of flowers out on the table, the first thing people do is move it out of the way anyway, put out arrangements of whole fruits and vegetables. Whether you grew them or purchased is irrelevant. Just don't cut them, but just whole fruit and vegetables. Make those your centerpieces. And the next day, come to ampleharvest.org, find a pantry, and donate the food that was the centerpiece so it can grace your table one day and feed another family the next.
So even if you're not a gardener, mentioned that. Yes, it's a beautiful
even if you're not
idea.
A gardener, you can still participate in getting healthy, fresh food in your community or from your home to the needy in your community. And the other thing people need to know is the needy in the community are not the people on the other side of the railroad tracks. That's a really important thing. These are your neighbors who got laid off and maybe have had a hard time getting back into the employment, or they've had a family illness or whatever. These are one out of six people in this country. And they may well be people you don't know and people you do know. So you are helping the people that are the immediate world around you. And the model, by the way, for AmpleHarvest.org, in the way it's built, is intended to keep the donor and the recipient from seeing each other, from knowing who they each are, which is good because it's entirely possible that the food from my garden ultimately ends up on my best friend's dinner plate.
And let's do a little bit here about the flowers, because I've done some shows on this. It's, you know, we've been 6 years here doing Mrs. Green's World, good work with a great team of people as well. The buying flowers, again, it's just wrought with challenges, because they could be harvested by a 13-year-old in Costa Rica and laden with insecticides, pesticides that you're off-gassing at your dining room table. That's very real. Touching them can be horrible. You have to make sure that if I do buy flowers, I make sure they're organic and that they were harvested in the United States. And I don't need them anymore. Beautiful baskets that's such a great idea for
and
all.
Yeah, I mean, I know that FTD is not going to be giving us money. I get that point. But although FTD, if you're listening, if you want to make a donation, we'll be grateful to accept it. But the point is that you don't have to be a backyard gardener. You don't have to be a farmer. And by the way, you could be a kitchen gardener. You may have a flower pot of parsley, chives, and mint growing in your kitchen. It doesn't have to be a lot of food. If you have more than you can use, you can donate that. And it just gets mixed with all the other donations in your community. So your handful of mint, someone else's handful of parsley, and somebody else's baskets of tomatoes all get laid out on the table at the food pantry for the people who are coming in to feed their families. So nobody should ever feel that they don't have enough food. Our core mantra is no food left behind. The food in America should be eaten by somebody. If it's not you or your friends, than the needy in your community.
I'm writing everything down because we're going to want to hashtag it. And I also love that you said that, you know, who can operate and make successful the big mission that you have without dollars? I mean, that is just such an incredibly not well thought out concept. It does take money. It's about SEO. It's about the design of your website. It's about how easy it is to get there. It's about outreach. I mean, all of it takes money, because that's the reality of the world in which we live. So I'm bold in asking for money for organizations like yours. It's like, yeah, they've got to keep up the good work. You need staff. You need it to be beautiful. You need it to be hip. You need to tweet about it. Social media is our reality. So I want to do a shameless plug for going to your website and making a tax-deductible donation. We talked about Oprah when I called you earlier, and the thing that people like you and I, why we wanted the spotlight on what we're doing, is because Oprah could make those tax donations, the donations go off the charts. And it sounds to me like you're creating a lot of dots that are going to make even better things happen. I mean, you are.
Offer your listeners two things. Number one, anybody who decides to donate at $100 or more, we will give you a small gift. We had a wonderful group of young people produce an album for us called The Garden of Music. And for a gift of $100 or more, when we send you your tax receipt, we will include a free download card for Garden of Music. The other thing I did want to say is that if there are any people who are working with organizations that are looking for keynote speakers, get in touch with us, info@ampleharvest.org. We'd love to talk with you.
Great. That's another really great thing. And, you know, there's a lot of wonderful things going on in Arizona. Don't think poorly of us because of our latest bill that the governor vetoed. It's a disgrace, but we got it. We got it taken care of, so I have to do that shout-out also. So Gary Oppenheimer, founder and executive director of AmpleHarvest.org, thank you for taking an hour out of your very busy life with your very big why to be a part of Mrs. Green's world. Everybody make it a great green week, and don't waste your harvest. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.